This morning's message is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
ヨハネによる福音書3章16節。神は実にその一人子をお与えになったほどによう愛された。それは御子を信じる者が一人として滅びることなく永遠の命を持つためである。
Morning.
Morning.
Oh, how's everyone doing? It's getting cold, huh? Welcome to Tucson. It's hot one day and cold the next. How about we all stand and greet our neighbors? Last week I spoke about how giving is an essential part of loving, and I shared how as a little kid, I remember my mom used to give me and my two brothers the same gift every Christmas, because she knew if my brother got something better than I did, then I'd start crying, and you know, I wouldn't have that grateful heart like normal people do. But giving is an essential part. Today I want to talk about inviting as an essential part of loving. The scripture passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, and this is the invitation, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. And let me share you another story from my childhood. This was when I was in junior high. My first invitation to a birthday party. You know, when you're a little kid, you don't get invitations, right? Maybe you do. I never did. But as you get older, you know, that's part of growing and maturing. You get invitations. And I still remember one of my first invitations to a birthday party. It was for a girl about my age. And I guess my dad, he misunderstood the invitation and thought I was the only boy invited. And so for the birthday gift, he said, oh, you should bring roses and chocolate because the girl obviously likes you. I said no. My mom said no. And good thing we said no, because I was part of a basketball team back then, and all the basketball kids got invited. And so that would have been a little awkward if I brought roses and chocolate. Instead, I brought a sweater. But an invitation is always nice, isn't it? Even if you can't go, to be invited to something. And this is what God is doing here in chapter 3, verse 16. He says, whoever, anybody, believes in my Son shall not perish but have eternal life. And today I want to talk about invitation for transformation and invitation for participation. But before I speak on those two, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again for this day that we could come together as a community and hear your word. And just the hearing of your word is ministry, Lord. We pray, Father, your word would continue to transform our lives. Father, you said your word will not return void. And so, Father, we ask that you will continue, Lord, your good works in each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence to come and fill this place. Fill our hearts, Lord. We pray, Lord, for heaven's atmosphere to invade this space right now. That you would increase our faith, Lord. Increase our vision. We thank you, God, for your great mercy, great grace, and your great invitation. We accept it, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And the first, importance of that is an invitation for transformation. He's saying, whoever, any one of you today can be transformed because of this invitation. And the invitation, the three transformation we see is a transformation in identity, a transformation in our mind, and a transformation in our life. Let me say that again. An invitation for transformation in our identity, in our mind, and essentially our life will be transformed if we accept this invitation to receive him. Galatians 4:1-7. Let me read from Galatians 4:4-7. It says this: but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This invitation isn't an invitation to simply a birthday party. Although the Bible does talk about a party in heaven. And he talks about the greatest wine and the greatest meat, and I'm excited for both. Although I'm not a drinker per se, but if God makes something and he calls it good, it's going to be really good. And I love meat. But this invitation isn't simply to a party again. It's an invitation to become his son. And for those of you, his daughters. But the Bible specifically says sons here, because in a son, in this context, when this was written, there's only a son could be an heir, and that's the message Paul wanted to give to us, that as a son we become an heir to the kingdom of heaven. And our identity shifts when we receive that invitation. Wow, I'm having a hard time speaking. Sorry. But it's from a slave to a son. He says we are no longer slaves, but we are sons. We are no longer poor or a pauper, but we're princes. Prince. We are no longer scattered, but we are a sacred people, a priesthood. And so our identity changes. It is transformed. And I'm sure most of you have heard this analogy, but the word transformation here is the same word for metamorphosis, right? You guys heard of that? And, you know, the clearest and best picture of a metamorphosis that we know of here on earth is a caterpillar. Because a caterpillar, it goes through a transformation. There is nothing in that caterpillar that looks like it's going to fly one day. It's not like you could look at that caterpillar and say, one day you're going to fly. One day you're going to be beautiful. And there's nothing in that caterpillar. But there is a transformation that occurs in that caterpillar. That it sprouts wings and it turns into a completely different creature. And that's what the invitation is for us. That God is saying, you will be transformed. if you receive this invitation, whoever believes in me, whoever believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. We could either perish or have eternal life. And that eternal life is an invitation for transformation of our identity and of our mind. As we transform and become sons, we now have access to heavenly resources. As a son, we have access to the heavenly resources. So it is essential that we have a transformed mind. Because with an untransformed mind and having heavenly resources, it could be very dangerous. It could be dangerous to people around us, and especially it could be dangerous for us personally. But the Lord promises not just a transformed identity, but a transformed mind. In Romans 12:2, let me read, it says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And there is a transformation occurring in our lives. I was going to quote C.S. Lewis, but I'm going to mess up his quote, so I won't quote him. But every day, C.S. Lewis, I'm going to paraphrase him. He says, we're going to become a creature that we completely dislike, or we're going to become more like God. Every day we have that choice. And it requires a renewing of the mind. And the scripture promises us that for those who are renewing our minds, we have the mind of Christ. That it is possible that the mind of Christ can be ours. Not that we will ever be perfect here on this side of eternity. But as it renews, it transforms. As we let Scripture wash over us, as we change our values, our attitudes, our behaviors, we will become more Christ-like. Ephesians 4, it says this. Ephesians 4, let me read from verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so that is the Lord's will for us, that we attain the whole measure, the fullness of Christ in our lives. And so we come every Sunday and we go to Bible study and we read our Bible and we watch gifted pastors, preachers, teachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists, for the goal not just to know Christ, which is important, but to attain to the full measure of Christ, which is possible. An invitation for transformation of our identity, an invitation for a transformation of our mind. Amen? Amen. And God is inviting us for eternal life, which is, as John puts it, knowing God. In John 10:10, he talks about Christ came to give us life to the fullest. An abundant life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. If anyone is in Christ, the old has gone. The new is here. And even now, unfortunately, not for all of you, but this is an invitation for all of you. But even now, as my wife and I, we've been coming to this church for now, 7 months? We started in March. Wow, 7 months. You guys look beautiful, more beautiful every week. But even now, as we come, we've noticed a transformation in some of you. Right? Like even in your physical countenance, there's a difference in some of you. And we hope that that would be true for all of you. And we hope that would be true for us as well. That as we strive to the full measure of Christ, there will be a noticeable change in the atmosphere around us, in the way we speak, in the way we think, in what we value, even the way we portray ourselves. That there would be, wow, you look different. Not, oh, wow, you look different. But, wow, you look different. And in John 3:16, that invitation is given. And it's because God loves the world. And He loves us. He loves you and me. That's why that invitation is given. It's God's great love. It's not anything within us. But it's because of His love that He gives us this invitation. But with that invitation, and for those of you, for those of us who have accepted and embraced that invitation, there's a great responsibility that comes with it. And it's an invitation for participation. There's two things I want to talk about. The invitation to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom, and the invitation to invite others into the kingdom. If you turn your Bibles with me to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 10, 1 through 8, let me read. It says, Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And He gives a name. Let me jump down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter the town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. So did you see what the disciples, the first of Jesus' disciples, what they were supposed to do is go, is to, verse 6, let me start with verse 7, because verse 5 and 6, they no longer apply to the disciples, but verse 7 does. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now some of you may say, well, that's the first disciples, that's the apostles. And the apostles, they were given special authority. And yes, that is true, the apostles were given special authority, I believe that. But if you turn now with me to Luke chapter 10. We just read Matthew chapter 10, I want us to look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. Let me read. After this, the Lord appointed 72. Now, this is not the apostles anymore. This is 72 of His disciples. 72 others, and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandal, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If the head of the house loves peace, your peace will rest on that house. If not, it will return to you. Let me just stop and go on a rabbit trail. I don't know what that meant when Jesus says go into a house and say peace be unto you. You could do that, and I believe your power and proclamation has power. That's all I could say. How your peace returns to you and what that looks like, I have no idea. All right, let me read on. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for workers deserves their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Let me go down a little bit. Verse 16. Let's go to verse 16. He says, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And so the apostles were given authority. And we know that. And they were given the authority to proclaim the gospel, the kingdom of God is near, and to demonstrate it, right? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse those with leprosy. But if, as we see here, the 72 also were given a similar authority. Proclaim the good news and demonstrate. Heal the sick. And they said, they came back and said, even the demons submitted to us. And so there's a great responsibility with this transformation. There is a transformation for each and every one of us, and that's great. And I believe when we come in to know Christ, we look forward to that, right? And I think most of us, we look forward to that final transformation when we get to heaven, which is awesome. Which will be the most amazing transformation. But there's a transformation that occurs here and now. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that transformation of sonship, that transformation to become prince, to that transformation to become a sacred priesthood happens now. And actually already happened. A metamorphosis has taken place. The old has gone, the new has come. No longer caterpillars, but butterflies. But a lot of us, if we don't realize that that transformation has responsibilities, we will continue with wings to crawl on the floor. And I've never seen a butterfly crawling on the floor, but if I did, I'd wonder why it's not flying around. And as we live here on earth, let me ask you, are we still just crawling around on the ground? When the potential is that we could be flying, and that we could invite others to fly with us. Of course, and let me end with another famous passage in Matthew 28:19. You don't have to turn there. Most of you already know this one. But in 28:19, Jesus gives this great commission to each and every one of us. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am going with you always to the end of the age. And what did he command the disciples to do? There's a lot of things he commanded the disciples to do. Yeah, I don't want to just say, oh, he commanded his disciples just to heal, but he did command them to heal. I mean, that's not the only thing he did. But within all that he commanded his disciples to do, heal the sick, proclaim the gospel, cast out demons, those are part of it. And he says, teach them to obey everything. Everything. Not just some of the things. He says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that's discipleship making. Is, I've taught you everything. Jesus said to his disciples, I've taught you everything I've known. I've taught you how to fly. Now go and teach others how to fly. I've taught you how to become a butterfly. How not to crawl anymore. Now I want you to go and teach those who are crawling on the ground, earthly minded people. I want you now to go and teach them to fly and become heavenly minded, heavenly bound. Why? Because God so loved the world. God looked down and said, why is everyone crawling? They were meant to fly. I'm going to send my son. He's going to teach 12. He's going to teach 72. 72 is going to teach 1,000. 1,000, 10,000, 10,000s, hundreds of thousands, millions, millions to billions. Amen. And that's what we're here for. To reach the fullness of Christ. That is available, that we've been invited into. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you so much, Lord, for that you have taught us how to fly. And Lord, with this proclamation of the gospel, I do pray that we would learn how to demonstrate it in our daily lives. And even as we come here together as a community, that it would be demonstrated, Lord, that those who have needs can come here and have those needs met with heavenly resources that are available to us as your sons. Yes, Jesus, we just thank you so much. Father, I do ask that you would even begin to bring peace to those right now who are anxious. Father, we ask right now that you would bring provision to those who are in need. Father, we ask that you would lift off burdens for those who have heavy hearts right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and your great love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If there is anyone with, I don't know, I guess this is not your heart, but just pain in this area of your body, we'd like to pray for you at the end of service. Please come up. And this might be just me, but if you have back pain right here in this area, please come up. We'd like to pray for you. Thank you.